Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music bringing a Christian message of hope and courage to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and life. This program is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries, Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, K0G1WO. Today's program is also sponsored through the generosity of Hulse, Playfair, and McGarry Family Chapels. I am your host today, Brian Wilkie of St. Andrew's Christian Church in Rockland. I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in and for your encouragement and support. Remember that you can always visit us on our website for materials to encourage and support you in your Christian walk. And today I want to encourage you to mark your calendars for November 1st for an evening of worship and celebration with Good News in the Morning and Ernie and Linda Cox. Further information can be found on our website at www.goodnewschristianministries.ca or call 613-283-4546. Now today I'd like to speak to you about the holiness of God. As we look for a scripture concerning the holiness of God, you can look anywhere in scriptures and find references to God's holiness. The scripture that I want to share with you today is just one of so many, and it's from the commandments that God gives to Israel when he says to them in Exodus chapter 16, "The Lord said to them, 'This is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow is to be a day of rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. So bake what you want to bake and boil what you want to boil, save what is left and keep it until morning.'" As I read that scripture today and as we delve into the question of the holiness of God, you may wonder, where's the definition? This scripture doesn't give a definition. It just says, because today is holy, this is what you're to do. And as you look through scriptures, you find that so many references to holiness are exactly that. For instance, in Exodus 19, Moses said to the Lord, "The people can't come up Mount Sinai because you yourself warned us, put limits around the mountain and set it apart as holy. The Lord has declared that the mountain's holy and the people are not to approach it." And in Exodus 20, you'll remember that great command again about the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Holiness is a theme of Scripture, both describing who God is and his attitude towards his creation, and the attitude that his creatures should have towards him. We'll get into all of this in a few moments, but first let's listen to a hymn of praise as Steve Bell sings a familiar phrase from Scripture, "Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might." This is from his album, Beyond a Shadow.
Your glory are full. Hosanna, Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
When we look into the holiness of God, we only have Scripture to teach us what this is going to be about. We don't have in Scripture a place where it stops to give the Oxford English Dictionary's definition of holiness. We only have the example of its use to describe the Lord and His requirements. The Lord is holy, but most often we encounter the command to be holy or to do a certain thing because it is holy, to treat something a particular way when it's holy. So there are many things in Scripture that are identified as holy to the Lord. And what we see is that they are set apart for God's purposes, that they are to be used only for God's purposes, that they have a particular use, a particular manner of being used, and all the regulations around the use of these holy items concerns or describes how the purpose that God has given for them is the only purpose that they are allowed to be used for. In fact, there are sacrifices given to God that are so holy that they have to be utterly destroyed, because only by their utter destruction can they be kept from any other use. Sacrifices that are not shared with the people, like so many of the offerings given in the temple, were partly for use of the priests, partly for use of the people who made the offering, and partly offered to God. But other offerings are holy and dedicated to the Lord, and they're dedicated with fire to be completely consumed by the fire. Holiness is an attribute described of the people of God. They are often told that they are to be holy because the Lord is holy. And in what God requires of us on account of His holiness, we get a picture of what His holiness consists of. The people of Israel are given a long and complicated law. And underlying all of that law is that they are a people holy to the Lord. And we see that the law spells out various ritual requirements that are reminders of their dedication to God. There were people who, through their taking on of the vows of a Nazarite, would represent to the whole community that they were dedicated to God. But each thing that the people of Israel did, whether it was eating special food or special preparation for it, whether it was in their feasts or their sacrifices, in all the law that they were given, there was an indication that their lives were dedicated to God. We need that reminder. We often forget what the purpose of our life is. And the people of Israel had many external reminders to keep them conscious of that. What do you use to remind yourself that you are holy unto the Lord? What are the things around your home that catch your eye and remind you to whom you belong? What are the things you do during the day to stop and take stock of your walk with God? Do you have a routine of devotions in the morning, perhaps a scripture at breakfast, perhaps a time during the day when you stop and reflect? Do you tune your radio to a Christian station and listen to a sermon or a song? Do you go to church, perhaps not just on Sunday, but at different times during the week? Perhaps to pray by yourself, or at other times to gather with other Christians to learn more about how to dedicate your life to God. What are the external things that remind you who you are and your call to be holy because the Lord is holy? We aren't given the same kind of list that the people of Israel were given, but that doesn't remove from us the responsibility and the opportunity to find ways to remind ourselves of the call that God has placed on our lives and the commitment that we have made to Him out of love for His Son. Much of that ritual law was served as a reminder of the holiness of Israel. But in addition to the ritual law, there was the moral law, the laws that really gave a better picture of what holiness actually is. And the people of Israel were called to live justly and to love mercy. They were called to respect one another. They were called to a fellowship together that was about living ethically and living justly and living lovingly. The holiness of God was represented in the people of Israel by the way they dealt with the widow and the orphan, by the way they dealt with the stranger in their midst, by the way they were faithful in their marriages, and the way parents honored their children, and children honored their parents and cared for them even into their old age. The community of Israel was intended to have the holiness of God represented in the way they lived with one another and the way they lived in the world. When Jesus came, He set for us a standard of holiness that really gets to the heart of who God is. When He expanded the commands of the Old Testament by saying, you've seen that it's written, thou shalt not kill, but I say, if you are angry at your brother, and if you curse your brother, then you are guilty of that of failing that command. He said to people who had heard the command not to commit adultery, He said, don't even look in lust at another woman, or you're committing adultery with her. That the holiness of God went to the heart of how we saw each other, how we treated each other, and how we were motivated towards each other. Jesus called on His people, His disciples, to love one another, and more, to love even their enemies. We get a hint in this about the holiness of God. And in Scripture, there are two very dramatic descriptions of God, where God says, I am the Lord and I am holy. And where God is described by John in his letter, God is love. The holiness of God and the love of God are held together in Scripture. And that's a place where we have a great deal of struggle as Christians, trying to understand, where do love and holiness meet? How do the two relate to one another? How does one get balanced against the other? We're going to take a look at that in a few moments, but before we do, I would like to have us listen to another song about God's holiness. And this is a very familiar ancient hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy. And this is taken from the collection called A Celebration of Hymns and sung by Jubilate and the Men's Church Choir. The holiness of God and the love of God. Which came first? It's kind of a chicken and egg question. I can very much recommend to you a small book by P.T. Forsyth called The Holiness of God. And in that he describes the holiness of God as being the first and foremost feature of who God is. And he makes a very strong case for putting holiness above all the other attributes of God, because in God's holiness, all his other attributes exist and come together. And I respect P.T. Forsyth on that, and I remember being handed that book by Dr. Alan Churchill years and years ago, Alan being the founding pastor, preacher of this show. But as I consider the holiness and the love of God, I cannot help but see that Scripture holds the two of them together. Reading the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is teaching about the holiness of God, and embedded in that teaching is the love that God has for us and the love that we ought to have for God and one another. That God's love is a holy love, and God's holiness is a loving holiness. The two are in fact one thing. They are a description of God in his fullness and his glory. God's love is holy because he will not cease to love. He will not bend in his love. He will not compromise his love. His love is intense and pure and unchanging. It's a holy love. It's a love that doesn't settle for second best for the ones that he loves. He insists on bringing us to our perfection in his love. The way that he tells us to treat one another, which we would often describe as the rules of holiness, are also the rules of love. God, knowing our inward nature, knows what we need. God, knowing the very foundation of our being, knows precisely how we need to live in order to be healthy, in order to be filled with his goodness, in order to experience the joy and the peace that he wants for all his people. He knows what it is to sin. He knows what it is when we hurt one another. He knows what it is when our actions cause harm to another one that he loves. We can't always see what our actions are going to do. We can't anticipate what the consequences of every careless word is going to be. But God knows full well how we can live in such a way as to truly love one another. If God were to bend from his holiness, he would be turning from his love. He would be allowing his creation to be hurt, to be damaged, and even for people to be destroyed because of the way other people are behaving and the consequences of that behavior. God, in his love, will never cease to be holy. These days, you see some people getting confused about that. You see people saying, well, if God is love, he won't mind, or he won't take offense if I do this or do that. If he loves me, he won't be bothered. But it's precisely because God loves us that he must be just. It's precisely because God cares for us that he must call us to a better life. Jesus, in that Sermon on the Mount, which is so often read as a refreshing release from the strictures don't do this and don't do that, it is a release from the don'ts, but it's very much a call into living holy lives. And in the midst of that Sermon on the Mount, he says to his disciples, whom he is teaching, he says, you must be perfect as my Father in heaven is perfect. What a difficult call, and yet what a glorious, holy, and loving call he gives to us. He calls us to live a life that is filled with the goodness of God, not just seasoned with God's goodness, but full of God's goodness. And this is the holiness to which he calls us. Only God can make us holy. God has given his Holy Spirit to lead us in that way. He has given his Son as an atoning sacrifice on the cross to cleanse us from all unrighteousness in order that we might be holy and spotless before him. He has given us his word to guide us and lead us. He has given us all things. And we really are to commit ourselves to being holy. To those who believe that love is the highest value that any human being could aspire to you, I encourage you to aspire to the holy love of God and nothing less. And to those who want purity and righteousness and goodness in their lives, aspire to the holiness that is filled with God's love, not some cold, hygienic sort of holiness, but the holiness that is rooted in God's revelation and God's gift of love to all his creation. Are you prepared to be holy and to live a holy life? I even myself sometimes shrink back from the greatness of that call. But we ought to commit ourselves in prayer to God and to let him do the work that he has so desired to do in us and allow him to make us holy. Would you join me in prayer? Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Glory be to you, O Lord Most High. Lord, every time we glimpse you, we glimpse your holiness. When you reveal yourself, you reveal your perfect love. Lord, when we see you, we want to be like you. And we're so thankful that you give your Holy Spirit to us, to empower us to follow and obey, and to change our hearts and renew us within and to give us new birth. We're so thankful that you cleanse us from every stain and every blemish. And we pray, Almighty God, that you would make us holy. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I'd like to thank you for listening today. And I'd also like to thank again today's sponsor, Hulse Playfair and McGarry Family Chapels. We thank you all because you keep us on the air week by week. If you can, please make out a check payable to Good News Christian Ministries and send it to Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, K0G1W0. We will send you a receipt and income tax time. Please also tell others about this program and don't forget to mark your calendars for November 1st for an evening of worship and celebration with Good News in the Morning and Ernie and Linda Cox. For further information, do visit our website at goodnewschristianministries.ca or call 613-283-4546. Be sure to worship in a church where the gospel is soundly proclaimed and lived out with compassion, integrity, and resolve. And now, to conclude our program, here is a song, Holy Is Your Name, sung by Bebo Norman and Caveman's Call from the Wow Worship 2003 album. I do pray that the Lord will hold your heart and you will know Jesus personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deep within your heart, and may the Heavenly Father surround you with his constant and abiding and accompanying love.
Scatter the stars.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.